Okie doke, welcome back. This is episode 5, 6? I've lost track. It's been a while anyway. So first off on the agenda, I'm going to get straight to it. We've had some criticism. I've not been doing proper introductions, so I'm going to start now. Better late than never. So joining me tonight, we've got Chris Nomadiah. Say hello, Chris. So everyone knows who you are.
I think it's best termed as constructive feedback.
Okay, constructive feedback, we'll go with that. And also, current evergreen nationals champion, Mike P, say hello.
Hello,
Unfortunately,
you're the one that pronounces it Reg, so you're very recognizable.
Yeah. And the voice you can't hear is Chris Ferguson.
Yes, Chris can't join us tonight. He's biking his way around the UK, I believe, so somewhere out in Swansea, Wales, is he at the moment, I think. So
Wales, where apparently they don't have Wi-Fi.
No Wi-Fi, Wales. So, shocking behaviour. But yeah, so he can't join us tonight, but he's with us in spirit, definitely. So it's been a long time. We did put a post out just before Euros and Continentals kicked off, but we'll sort of start talking about something up here now, I think, our experiences and how we saw going into it, first of all, I think, and then the fallout after Euros finished and what happened at US and then Intercontinentals. Anyone want to kick off with their experience? I know, Chris, you didn't play.
I watched. That counts.
You watched. But Mike, do you want to talk about how it went at all or start off?
Generally, yeah, I guess Euros went very well for me. I came second overall.
The best place.
Better than I've ever done at a Continentals. Yeah, best place. It's the ceremonial process place. We come second in tournaments. And then I did not quite so hot in Inters, but I came seventh. I'm still very, very happy with that one. And Chris Ferg, who's not here, but also made it into... Was it into the top
8?
How many Euros?
Top 8.
Was it top 8?
It was top 8, yeah.
Mm. And nice. Also made it into Intercontinentals. So generally quite a good one for all of us. I think we were feeling not super, super prepared for Euros going into it, so it was quite a nice reward for at least choosing the best of other people's decks in the run-up.
I think on that front, we do need to apologise because we put a post out that may some people may have found misleading just before. I thought we were being clear that this is what we're working on, but we weren't 100% guaranteed this is what we were going to be on, because stuff changed in the run-up. But in the very last few days before we went in, I think we all realised that a more APOC-focused max deck was the way to go. But we'd been looking at max before that. And that's the deck we put out in the post. But yeah, to anyone, and I believe some commentators were certain that we were on 2 APOC, apologies, because we should have cleared that up. I'll put big red disclaimers at the top next time.
Yeah, so on that, we'd been testing in the run-up to Continental season, and initially it felt like 419 was the only deck. I think this is sort of where everyone was about 3 months ago. 419 is the only deck. Why are you doing anything else? Even though you kind of suck against sports and you're only okay against PD, it's still obviously the good corp. I mean, you, Sean, started looking at Max and started testing that sort of hybrid APOC control Max elements of the Hive Mind list, elements of APOC bits and pieces that we ended up publishing. And we tested that for quite a while, me and Chris Ferg with you as well. I think none of us were super, super happy with it, but it seemed a lot more fun than 419. It was quite different to 419. And it seemed fairly good against sports and PD, which was where we were at when we published the post. And then the first Continentals happened, which I believe was APAC.
Yep.
Yeah. And Snare Bears played their Max deck in that tournament, which was just far more APOC focused, got rid of the fermenters and the hype line, the cookbooks. And when we looked at that, just like, oh yeah, this is much more sensible. Let's stop messing around with all of these weird extra tools and just play APOC. That's much more sensible. So we just played their exact list pretty much.
Yeah. I think it's worth noting as well that even though it's more APOC focused, I think the main change that we found was the econ was much more reliable in that version than the one we had been playing around with, where it's still keeping that element of fermenters and cookbooks, and we were relying still heavily on that. The switch to just having clocks and like much more standard econ package made the biggest difference, I think.
Yeah, and dusty laundries and some other stuff that we've been missing before.
It's just more focused, right? So the thing about this meta, at least until more recent tournaments, was that you're only worrying about two decks. You're worrying about sports and PD. And against sports, you just need stuff that lets you access Vacarons early and get as many access as possible. And against PD, you just want to reliably land an APOC, right? And so it's just cutting away anything that didn't do one of those two things.
Yeah, exactly. And you got to play Moshing as well, which is everyone's favourite new card.
Yeah, I think one of the worries that I had when we were looking at the influence before we started testing that list was the cut you make to get the third APOC in is the third Simul chip. I'm kind of worried that if you only have two Simul chips, maybe you're a less effective clot user. But then they sort of correctly identified that you just correct that by playing a second copy of clot and have become better against Arc Lockdown in the bargain, which all the sports decks were playing by the end of it.
Yeah, I think it's hard to move away from this image in your head as well, that in order to be an effective user of clot, you need one copy and three clone chip, right? And just be able to like permanently play it over and over again, when it almost seems more like you're just playing it as a road bump, right? Just something to slow them down enough to keep you in the game. And you can, I think, was it Soccer at APAC didn't even bother with clot, right? He just went with three star game instead.
Yeah, and the other answer, you just ignore it and try and start it in Vacheron.
Which also works. I mean, I think we were all a bit more risk adverse, and no one really, everyone leant towards the clot version. But I did try the Stargate version. It was pleasantly aggressive, so.
Yeah, it's kind of an aside, but I think you're right about clot. It kind of speaks to a difference in how fast advanced decks work now, which speaks to why Shaper is not so good against them. Because back in the day, when you were playing Shaper against fast advanced Astro decks, you're just sitting there trying to stop them scoring their one Astro, and you use that to completely jam up their game plan because they don't want to let you steal an Astro where you're probably going to win with your RMD spaces. Whereas now, if you only clot one agenda and you go steal it and it's a hyperloop and then they purge your clot out, you've not really achieved anything and you're still giving them tempo anyway. Like, all you're really trying to do is defer them from scoring one of their high value agendas like Luminol and hope that gives you the time to aim all pieces into the bin and get the agendas all hit.
Yeah.
Which is a better plan than a Shaper plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was interested in how it developed as well, because I think when we originally kicked off looking at these sort of decks and in the run-up to even before APAC, and you wanted to kill sports, I think we started off with 3-1 turn and multiple copies of Imp in a desperate attempt to just like make it so impossible. Which is, I think, part of the deck building process, right? You go hard into one avenue and then you work out how far you can ratchet back off of that. But I think how far you could lift off of that game plan was quite interesting. And once you'd worked out how much you could attack sports and get into it with just by having fast access to all of your breakers and being able to play a clot and a Stargate, you could go down to, I think, a one imp, was it, in the end? You did, and no wantons, all that sort of rubbish went out. So,
yeah, I think that's been one of the big sort of factors in how the meta's developed since before Continentals to now. It's like it feels like people are less afraid of sports than they were going in. So, they say we initially thought sports was like the big Satan that had to be beaten. So, we have to win all of this tech to beat it. And then, so once you take a step back and then play against it enough times to understand exactly how they're going to win and accept that some percent of the time you're just going to get destroyed regardless because they're going to draw all their cards in the right order and you just give up that 10% of games. You actually only need, really need like the imp, enough money to consistently get accesses and maybe a clot or maybe a turn one Stargate and you have enough. Or if you're 4-1-9, you just need maybe the extra turning wheel and then you play carefully and your win percent is going to be good. But it took a while for everyone to start getting over that fear and then say, like, okay, maybe this deck is only fine. I just need to respect it, but I don't need to respect it that much. Not quite as much as we thought.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to note as well how PD was always a factor that you had to keep in mind all the way through. Like, we talked about sports being the big bad all the way through and the one you needed to beat, but PD was a couple of percentage points behind, right? It was an extremely solid deck that you had to respect, and it had a different avenue of attack. You being able to contest that very first remote that went down, and that's where the APOC probably became more useful at times. But and then the subsequent pivot to Acme.
Well, I guess the issue with PD is that this is the time that everyone switched to Crecium, right? So it's kind of this natural push-pull that you often get in a meta, though maybe this one happened a bit slower because of less tournaments. But if everyone starts playing Apoc Max with Stargate and pressure like that to beat sports, then PD responds by putting Crecium in, and that's your offbeat choice. So the meta has always been recently that sports and PD were pulling in two different directions, and that was, I think, the only thing that stopped that Max deck having a really, really good PD matchup and flipped it to kind of an okay PD matchup, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. When we first picked it up, the PD list that were around were all playing zero Crecium, and it was a almost free matchup, especially if the PD player didn't really know what you were doing. And then over a couple of weeks on JNet, and also just through some tests and through some playing random people on there, you started to see like one Crecium pop in, then two, and then people start making the sort of compromises that Rotom Appliance made, where you start cutting Spin Doctors to play border controls and Crecium. So the matchup gets much harder. So maybe that's also part of why 419 did so well, because then they're making these compromises that make that matchup worse in exchange for having Crecium, which is only average against 419.
Yeah, so a lot of people look at Crecium and think that it beats Doof, but Doof really not that important to 419. 419 is kind of built around the Econ Denial from the drip Econ for paying a credit every single turn, and then a big turtle, right? So that's not really... That's hurting your 419 matchup by putting Crecium in, although it might not seem like it, because you're cutting out more things that make you consistent and faster, which is where 419 was struggling.
Yeah, if your whole thing is that you need to score your first sandbox and you're going, and 419 is going to do for you to stop you resing the ice, and by resing the Crecium, you're sort of achieving the same thing for them.
Yeah.
And then they inside job your remote and you still have a bad time.
Yeah, I guess if we're just looking at results, this 419 results, both of them, I think we would have said were quite surprising, right? So when you look at APAC in particular, sports all over the place, sports on top, which is what you'd expect. Then the same at Euros with a couple of kind of what I'll kindly describe as rogue decks. But I think 419 is the ID that did better than we expected to overall. And I guess what you're saying is that's why those compromises that these corps made to beat the top runner decks kind of brought 419 back into it a bit.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, I was playing sports rather than PD, because partly because I think it was slightly better at Euros and partly because I wanted quick games. And both of my losses in the cut at Euros were to Django and 419. I think those were partly down to just sports-driven variance, but they were also because we had made so many changes to make the matchup against Max consistent. We were playing double R Clockdown, double CVS, none of which matters against 419. We weren't playing Hedge Fund. We weren't playing Rashida. Also, we just weren't playing Rashida. I think that made the 419 matchup enough worse that sort of, percolated back in that direction. Like, that doesn't explain all of what happened in those games, but I think it's a factor.
Yeah. And I guess that comes down to another question that I think we'll come into later, which is how solved is this meta? I think on the surface, it looks really solved, right? Because you've got two great corps. Everyone's known about them for a while now. Those corps have done really well at big events. So you'd say, right, case closed. But that kind of push-pull that we've just talked about seems like it's not done to me by quite a bit. It seems like there's quite a lot of kind of shifting of decks and tech cards and popularity of decks still to come, and the only reason it's not happened is because there just aren't the events for it to happen in.
Yeah, I think that's always at the heart of it, right? But I think over the last 2 years, or like 18 months with obviously the lack of tournaments play, and that slowdown makes it so much harder to root around and find a meta that you think is happy, because it's so strung out now that it feels like it's with you for so long in a way.
Yeah.
But also nowhere near actually solved a lot of the time. You think it is, but in reality, there's more depth to it than you're giving it credit for. It's just you're not pushing people as hard because there just aren't as many tournaments.
Yeah, that's right.
It also feels like we have some. So it feels like we have some decks now that are so sort of obvious and powerful that it discourages people from looking around in the meta quite so much. So on the runner side, 4-9 has been so good for so long, and nothing's changed in that deck particularly, like tweaks and tech cards, but the fundamentals have been there since Uprising came out, really. That there's not been much reason to explore on the runner side until finding this sports deck put enough pressure on 4-9, you go looking and say, oh, actually, Amulet's still quite good. And on the Corp side, it's been the same. PD has been so clearly the obvious best place to play Offworld Office and Sandbox and all of the good ice and Seamless that other factions have gone relatively unexplored. And in the case of, say, Wayland and Teku, that seems to be probably the correct thing to have done. There's some stuff there, but not much. But in the case of MDN, it suddenly looks like there were actually decent decks there all along. And just there's been no reason to go and look for them, because why would you when you get three wins with PD?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's understandable. I think also it's partly led by the fact that the both of those purple decks have got an appealing play style for tournament play as well, in that they are relatively rapid and they're quite straightforward.
Yeah, that's it. It's not that they're accessible.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas if you say to someone, hey, this Acme deck's just as good, like it's instantly less appealing. You're laughing because it is, right? No one wants to go, oh, hang on, I could potentially have round two stuck for 45, 50 minutes in some 4-1-9 Acme grind fest that I have to like edge my way through. If I can just play sports five times for 10 minutes a pop.
Or Hive Mind Magic, So Hive Mind Max was in theory a dominant deck in the meta, but everyone still kept looking for Hive Mind decks because nobody apart from like NWE can play it properly.
Yeah, I mean, those are kind of two different things, but you're right. Like, that's the learning curve is off-putting, and then the other one, like, you sit down and watch any game of Acme, and they always end with like two cards left in R&D and 45 minutes on the clock. It's like,
yeah,
do I want to do this to myself? Even if it wins 100% of those games, none of them look fun.
Yeah, so it's interesting to consider, right? Because you say tournaments are the pressure that drive the meta forward and keep you digging deep, but also they do shape the sort of decks that you naturally will initially lean towards because of time constraints and stuff like that. I mean, there's no simple answer, but it's interesting to think about.
It's increasingly marginal gains as well, isn't it? So like the first few improvements you make in a meta tend to be huge strides, but as a meta matures, you make increasingly small improvements each time. So once we'd found PD in sports, it may well be there are decks that are a little bit better, but they're probably not very much better. And the time and effort you would spend trying to find those decks and check them and come up with them and tweak them, you could probably spend more productively getting better at PD in sports.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Deck building's hard. Deck building in a mature meta is even harder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely agree with that. I mean, I didn't play any Acme. I have not played it. I think, Mike, you've had some experience of dealing with it now from Intercontinentals.
But I've played against it in Euros twice, once in the last round of Swiss when I wanted to ID. My opponent rejected an ID, as they are entirely within their rights to do, and I understand why, because they were looking for a more secure strength of schedule position because we had an interesting tiebreak situation going on. I had to play, immediately lost my sports game to Imp Stargate, and then had to win a game against Acme in the last round, which went on for about 50 minutes. That was enormously painful, yes. And then we did the exact same thing in the car the next day. So yeah, I played against him twice.
Yeah.
I won both, but yeah, both of them were pretty horrendous. Very, very long games, very expensive games just in terms of how much money I spent out of that max deck. And
So this Acme deck we might as well talk about, because that's the big one that's emerged, right? And so CTM obviously won.
We keep trying to just talk about Euros and then we're going to complain about Acme. This is what's
CTM obviously won Euros. CTM also did quite well at different events as well. It was more represented in the cut than I think we'd kind of anticipated. But then if you look at Off the Grid, which is the next big tournament, I'd say the Acme... And I guess often and at Intercontinentals as well. That's hard to say. For those two tournaments, Acme was the deck that kind of broke through as a curveball corp choice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's more than that, or is it just a kind of is it the deck you beat to play to beat the best runner decks rather than a deck that's very good in its own right?
Having not played against it with 419, I don't know. I think it's very obviously like good against Aegon Max.
Yeah.
Specifically, I think I was very lucky to take two games off it with Aegon Max, and this was before like the version I played against only had two Crisiums. The most recent version has three Crisiums and the Salems.
The Salems is the smart innovation, right? That's the one, and that came from the CTM list at US, I think, initially. That Salems, I think, is a razor sharp inclusion to beat Max decks.
Yeah, because if you're saying that it's all going to go very long and Max is going to try and grind you out there, just but kneecapping Max by taking two Laborites out of hand ends that game immediately. So I think overall Acme should be way up on Max, on Aibok Max, but I don't think you could say that so much about Hivemind Max, and it sounds like 419 probably beats Acme, but the games are horrible. This is what I've heard.
Yeah, all the obviously not games I've played myself, that'd be ridiculous. All the stories, all the chat I've had with people is that the 419 deck is just outgrinds Acme, because as long as you can beat their econ in a remote, which you can do with Inside Jobs and Boomerangs, as long as there's enough of those in your deck, you've just got more drip econ, and Acme just doesn't have enough money because all its ice cost all the credits in the game.
Yeah, the ice suite is obscenely heavy. economically for them.
It's incredibly expensive, and they struggle because so much of their economy comes from daily quest, because they plan to do nothing for about 15 turns and run a quest, but the ID means that only the outer piece of ice in the remote is actually going to be any good. Inside Job is a very powerful way to contest that, whereas if they want to run, like if they want to say spend two or three turns just playing hedge fund subsidy, then put quest in the remote, it doesn't matter that they have three ice in the remote, still only one of them has the Acme ability.
Yeah.
Inside Job still beats that one.
Yeah, it's actually quite hard for them to just double up on ice, isn't it? Because like Data Ward only, you can't stack Data Wards. The Data Wards have to be spread on different servers.
Unless you play like Ward, then you could put a Thoth outside the Ward.
Yeah, but that's really awkward.
Yeah. And you're likely to end up with a weaker server if you're raising 20 credits worth of ice on your remote to stick a daily quest.
Yeah.
You're probably going to struggle to find HQ.
It's worth noting that's it's an exceptionally expensive server to raise two pieces of ice.
Yeah.
Oh, I've complained about it. I've mentioned this quite a few times, but in my first game against it at Euros, I eventually landed an APOC that won me the game, and I think the APOC cost me 57 credits to land, which is too much. Much too much.
Especially when, before you make any of those runs, you have to work out how much it will cost to land this APOC.
Mm.
You get a calculator out, not a shiny one.
I don't know. I honestly don't know if that deck is legitimately good. I'm sure that it's good. I don't know if it's legitimately the new best deck, or whether it's a snipe at Apoc Max, and you hope that people don't all pivot back to 419.
It feels to me like you're back in this kind of traditional rock paper scissors area where you get to after a while in the meta once everybody kind of knows the decks a bit, where. If everyone's playing Aport Max, you play Acme. If everyone's playing Acme, you play 419. If everyone's playing 419, you play Sports. And then random round we go. Also, I guess how it interacts with Hivemind Max isn't really known yet, because Hivemind Max is almost exclusively a European deck. And Acme really mostly is a US deck at this point, just again because of the way the tournaments have fallen.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine, just thinking about the matchup, that Hide My Max should be up on it, just because Tranquilizer is so devastating against that ice.
Yeah.
But if you lose your recursion for the Tranquilizer, life could get much harder because they have less money, like less normal money to contest promotes early, and they don't have a reset plan quite the same way as Apoc.
And that's the point. We probably have like another couple of iterations through this loop to go through. If this meta were left, like you'd get Magnets and Acme or something, or other variations. We're probably not going to see that because there's no tournaments now before Worlds, which has its own ban list. But
it kind of seems like, based on that, if you had infinite time to practice, the Hide My Max feels like the place to be. If you get over the fact that it seems much more complicated than the others and you're doing it for marginal gains against Acme and making your sports matchup still good but much harder than the others to conceptualize how you win it without Stargate.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, again, at Off the Grid, PD had replaced sports as the most popular corp, which was a bit of an unexpected shift. Again, I guess it's because if you're expecting Apoc Max, PD may be a slightly better as the kind of as the corp you play into that. I don't think if even if there were 10 more tournaments, I think if we were to test for those tournaments and do the standard run up to the tournaments, evaluate the decks, work out what to play, I don't think we would play Acme at any of them, is my bold claim for today.
No, I'd see quite unlikely to happen. I think it's worth noting as well, there were changes to the Hive Mind Max deck made for Euros, right, that made the sports matchup more appealing, right? They did make some changes. So there's room in that list to... I don't think it is... When you look at Hive Mind Max, I don't think it's as... Even as clear-cut that the sports matchup is that... tough for you now, maybe if you can factor in some of that.
I don't think it's that bad. I think it's just more complicated because for the other Max decks, the Apoc Max decks, it's quite simple to say, like, where you clot their early scores because you have quite often two clot, and then you get an imp going, you Apoc all of the ice away, and you just try and gate a Vacheron, and like that's ultimately how you're going to win the game. Whereas watching the Hive Mind matchups, it sort of starts in the same way, but then there comes a point where they just commit to trying to hit Conduit. And because Conduit doesn't break Vacheron in the same way, they're usually trying to hit 5 points or something in the same turn, or they're potentially going to lose. So finding the right moment to fire that off and say, like, I know I have to hit a 2 points a hit, not a Vacheron, is less obvious than, like, I'm going to gate the Vacheron, oh, there's a hyper loop. Well, you can have that, I don't care.
And you're more reliant on Knob Kree Imp to effectively hit fast advance pieces. You've got to be more clever about controlling those, which again is harder. I just think it's just, I'm not saying it's a worse matchup, I think it's a much harder to master matchup, which again is probably true of almost all Hive Mind Max matchups.
Yeah, the deck in itself is very deep. It's not very easy to pick up. I don't think I would have ever seen the switch to Paladin for Euros in a month of Sundays, had I been playing that deck in the run-up to it. It was interesting.
No, it doesn't seem like it should be a big deal, but apparently it's a big deal. Apparently it's the changing factor.
Yeah, and I suppose that's what that echoes back to what we were talking about earlier, what Chris was saying, where your gains are increasingly small, and who knows how many games they had to play in order to find... to find that edge and to find that change. It's because it doesn't look obvious to me at all. So, interesting. I think it's probably worth talking about now we've sort of gone to these meta discussions and how much further it would go is talk about a potential MWL, or there is going to be one, we assume, before Worlds, right?
So it's been said, yeah.
Yeah, and then what expectations there would be for that, really, given the shift in meta now, and then B, maybe the timing of that as well. This is something I was talking about with Mike before we kicked off today. But I'd be interested to see how people feel about what maybe they would even want to see or expect to see in a ban list.
You've got two approaches, right? One is that you kind of look at the meta and go, well, HP decks have been on top for what feels like forever. Last changes didn't hit them at all, really, or even if it tried to hit them, didn't really reduce their power. So let's go nuclear, do something like quite bold, really hit the agenda suite and some of the key parts, and then try and make something brand new. The other one, I guess, is that you say, look, based on Intercontinental and Off the Grid, there are still decks that are emerging. Maybe you think that Acme means that Reg Anarch with Hippos comes back, for example, or there's space in 419 to innovate with stuff like that deals with those big eyes. And maybe you say that actually this meta is deeper than people give it credit for, and all you need to do is tweak it to kind of let that meta carry on unfolding. I think it's really hard to guess which one they will do.
Yeah. It's quite complicated as well to try and think, even if you say, let's do option one, let's just kill, or let's just hurt these existing decks. You then look at all three lists, I mean, PD, Sports, and Acme, and try and find the commonalities between all three of them, and then really, there are very few, apart from Rashida, which is obviously a powerhouse in every corp, but...
Well, not necessarily even in sports, right? It's not in every sport.
No, but...
Arguably it should be, but yeah.
I did, when we were running into these Continentals, I was trying to decide which list to play. I pulled out all of the sports lists from the cuts of all three Continentals and realized that the only people who weren't playing Rashida's were me and Chris Berg.
Trailblazers.
I think we maybe erred. It does. I think there were arguments for not playing it, but like, it's in most of them. It should be most of them. But like, aside from that, there just isn't much in common between them. They're playing different agenda suites. They're playing...
Yeah, if you ban Rashida, you have to do more to sports because sports becomes the best deck still. Yes. I think sports is arguably the only corp deck that can survive without Rashida at the moment.
Yeah, it can go. And you make every other corp, which is kind of floating around sad in tier two, like Ag Infusion or Argus, which is probably like tier three, but you make them all even worse.
Yeah. And if you're not banning Rashida, I don't think there's anything in Acme that you can ban.
Yeah,
you have to hit multiple cards. Like, you maybe look at Acme and say, like, well, the thing we hit here is Bellona, and then you take like Bellona, Luminal, and Sandbox, and just whack an agenda out of all three decks. But that's a really nuclear option.
Yeah. And the really nuclear option is that you ban about 12 cards. Like, you hit Amakua, and you hit like three cards on the runner side, you hit like six cards on the corp side, and try and make something, like you try and make Shaper relatively better. You try and make Wayland and Jinteki, which are essentially our forgotten factions at this point, better. But I think that is so hard to do. Like, I don't see how you can do that with any confidence that the meta you're going to make is balanced or works or is interesting to people.
And I mean, the flip side, the thing that people always say, why don't you just unban cards? But then you start looking at the ban list and see, like, it's just kind of because of the way rotation is wiped out, because of the timings the different factions got their good cards.
Yeah.
You look at this ban list and say, like, what on this is justifiable? Like, you want to find just power cards that aren't, I don't know, Friends in High Places. And so, like, okay, what Shaper cards are there even left here?
No. There's Lamb. all the ban cards are criminal and neutral, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so we're saying it's very hard, yeah. But we say, I mean, it's worth, we've never seen a particular, there's never been a large ban list change, right? There's no, the nuclear option of the 12 to 14 card mystical, we're tearing up the rule book, and this is the new meta, that's never happened before. So it seems unlikely that it's going to happen now with 6 to 8 weeks to Worlds, right? That's basically off the table, I think. So, I mean, if they do, brilliant. It will be interesting to see. But I think it's going to be more like another iteration over what we've had before.
I think Mike's right. There's not much you can ban on the corp side other than some agendas. And then you're into the dicey stuff like Rashida or Seamless Launch or another card that I've just forgotten. But there's not you don't have a lot of scope for banning non-agenda cards. But you can't ban more ice, surely, because there's no ice that's really that you think is at all egregious at this point.
No, certainly not. I don't think you can. There's still the question of the agendas with HB, I suppose, but the whole thing seems very difficult. I mean, I suppose we're getting to the point now of what you'd need for Worlds is new cards.
this is our official podcast policy. It's always magically print more cards.
Yeah. More cards, please.
So that all kind of feels like an argument for your option B, Chris, which is you take some slight nudges at this meta, but you try and leave it alone and just hope it shakes out. And like in an ideal world, what that would probably mean is you maybe basically leave criminal HB and MBL alone and then improve all of the others very slightly.
Again, it's the same problem, right? I'm not sure how you improve unless you want to give Jinteki Engram flushback. Which I assume is completely off the table. I don't see how,
especially if it's a one inf card, so you're not even just giving Jinteki back.
I don't see how you improve those factions particularly. Like there's nothing on the list that you can give back to Wayland unless you want to give them Gagarin. But like all these cards are banned for a reason. People hate Gagarin. Some people love it, a lot more people hate it and would look at that and go, that's not gonna make me play the game. I think ultimately you probably look for a light touch, like you hit Vacheron and you hit something like Seamless Launch, and you assume that both PD and Sports are playable without those cards. I think you can play Sports without Vacheron. I think it's probably just okay. It's a lot worse because Vacheron is ridiculous agenda, but I think it's still a playable deck if you've got to go to Ikara or something. PD without Seamless Launch is still playable, but probably is a ton more approachable because you then don't have to run every agenda that goes in the remote. I don't see what else you can really do. And then I think you just leave Acme and say that Acme is this curveball deck that we know has a weakness against criminal, and we think there's enough space for those decks to kind of iterate to be fair and like have a reasonable win rate against it. I don't think you can hit Acme. And then, but if, like, I don't think you can do anything else than that. I don't think runners need to be changed at all particularly. I think anything more than that, you're effectively trying to like rebalance it with just one big whack of a hammer and hope that it goes the right direction.
So the nuclear option, that makes sense, which then sort of circles back to the point I was talking about with Mike before you joined and before we kicked off today, which was what is the optimal timing for the MWR. If you looked at all of the MWRs before and the ban lists that came, when for maximum effect do you release that?
12 hours before Worlds.
So, without trying to give your player base a collective aneurysm.
Well, that's you take advantage of the benefits of playing an online tournament and change your deck every round. Yeah. Keep releasing end of the
round. So now fix your deck.
Then surely we just get to just give us a new card every round would be fine then, rather than and then do it. But I mean, at what point is 4 weeks prior to Worlds the optimal time to release the ban list? So you give people some time to explore or re-explore the current meta and then find the new shift, or do you give them more time and then risks people getting bored and burnt out perhaps by the time they get to the tournament? Would you give them even less time? And
I think less time's bad. No matter what changes you're making, I'd want a month, because a month is actually not that much time to play lots of Netrunner and discover new stuff. The more complicated your changes are, the bigger changes you make, the further out I think you should go. Like if you're going to do a really, really big change where you ban Sandbox and three other agendas and Amakua and an Anarch card of your choice, you could release that list now. If you're going to make big changes, 2 months where there's no events happening other than a few store championships. Because let's face it, based on past kind of precedent, people aren't going to share the decks they're playing for Worlds. So you need to give everybody time to find those decks, not just the people who are in like 20 strong testing pods of world-class players.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's like for smaller events, for store champs, maybe even regionals, there's definitely a fun involved in having a very short time to solve the meta and then turning up and someone having done it. And you go, oh, that's cool. I didn't think of Gagarin.
I'll play it next week. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But for Worlds, like, it's the big sort of finale for the year. I mean, anything could happen, but for a lot of people, it might be like the last very big online event they play for quite a while, especially over in the States. So you don't really want that sort of, you don't want people to come and go like, oh, that's stupid. I didn't know that was a deck. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Okay. So would you appreciate some warning or some indication of when that would be, or just...
I think the ideal
is we come with the banks.
Again, this is always opinion, right? Some people will say that they don't want the meta spoiled that far in advance because they like this wacky meta where they don't know what people are going to play. My preference is that they would say, we're going to aim for an Amdrid World for this date. It might be a few days either side as we finish testing. And that date is as far in advance it was as possible from this point. Like, we're 2 months out now. So,
yeah.
I don't think it's possible for the meta to be solved and communicated enough in those 2 months, given that people will be preparing for Worlds, which means they're going to keep a lot of their play secret.
Yes. I think you maybe ideally want like one or two quite public events between the MW and Worlds, because you're right, some people will keep secret tech, but other people maybe say like, okay, there's an online store champ, I will play my sort of speculative testing deck in that, and then if there's a stream there, we'll just see, okay, this is some of where this direction is going, but maybe not the final product. But you don't want like 18 store champs between the MW Worlds necessarily, because then you have time to really grind through the iterations. It's not novel at all.
Yeah, I think it's worth that, even when you're talking about these small isolated test groups of players as well, is that having some events in a run-up to a large tournament, even if you're not directly sharing, being able to sort of cross-pollinate indirectly in that respect, because they may not be taking the latest tech or whatever they've got in their skunk works, but people will talk or they'll try some cards, right? So you do get some cross-pollination, or even just the simple fact that they've taken a slightly different ID. Helps, I think. So yeah, I would like to see one or two more tournaments before Worlds, but I don't even think are there any on the horizon?
There's a couple of store champs.
I don't know. I haven't looked.
Okay. Some non-standard tournaments.
in the UK, there's one or two store champs scheduled, I think, which I think are online, and then that's it. There might be some other kind of events like that around the world, but there's not going to be much.
Okay. Fine. I suppose we should always remember that the Aldershot crew, Dave, often put their little tester GNK out before Worlds as well. So there might be one of those coming up as well. So you never know.
I guess we should ask the traditional question before we stop. If there was a tournament now in this meta, right now, what decks would you be playing? So I don't think that's very easy right now.
No. Having had, again, little Hive Mind Max experience, I would probably go back to Apoc Max and sports again. But I don't know. I think if I had a little bit of time to prep, I'd try this Hive Mind Max with Paladin and see how it shapes up against the Acme deck.
You'd not be tempted by 4-1-9.
I suppose you could just defend. Yeah, I've been on a bit of an anti-blue thing for
too many good cards,
like,
John. Too many good cards.
I know. I think that's partly what galvanized me to start looking at Max before we even got to APAC, right? Was because I just was like, oh god, it's going to be another 4-1-9 like situation, and I needed for my own sanity to try and build something that was in a different card pool, and like, Shaper is all credit to Shaper players, but it's in a sorry state, and realistically the only person or only other opportunity was Anarch, and then Max gave you the tools to sort of contest some of these decks that could score from turn one and two anyway. But like, yeah, 419, you would have to evaluate it again. I haven't played any for a while, but yeah, I think I'd probably lean towards the Hive Mind Max, just again, personal preference, but you'd have to look at, I would have to look at 419, I suppose. Or Mike would have to tell me it's still good, and then I'd reluctantly, reluctantly play it.
Drag you back onto 419.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
I think I would be going 419 PD for kind of the same reasons, but in an opposite direction.
That's what I think. I think that enough people will be playing Acme that Max, like that Apoc Max matchup against Acme is so bad that I think 419 now that that third corp is there, and the reason we stopped playing 419 is because you were behind against both Sports and PD, and like Max gave you slightly better bars on both of those. But the third corp where PD is favoured, I think makes 419 slightly tweaked to kind of cover those other purple matchups. I think it makes it a legitimate choice, if not the best choice.
Yeah, from looking at the lists, people have, the 419 lists people have been playing as well, especially in Off the Grid, it looks like a combination of the presence of Acme as the third deck and also sort of rising confidence in Sports means that the lists are pushing, have gained some more tech that looks like it makes the PD matchup a bit more comfortable as well. Like everyone seems to be on at least one, if not two, inside jobs now. The bones are all back in, which help a lot against both decks. They're all playing a bunch of upgrades. And then, I mean, whatever that does to your Sports matchup, if Sports is only a third of the field instead of half the field, I think those things make PD a lot more comfortable. They probably make Acme beatable if unhappy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if it's a big tournament, you go for a lot of the process, you go for the test and kind of work out what the numbers are on this. But if it's a store championship tomorrow, I would also lean to 419 and PD because I think 419 covers two of the three corps better than any other runner does. Without leaving a complete dog against the third one. And PD feels like the middle ground to me, where it's not like an overreaction. You're still playing one of the what we think is the best corp decks, but you don't have this kind of hole against certain runners. Sorry, John.
It's fine. While you and Mike were talking, I did go back to the off the grid ABR page and have a look. I didn't realize quite how many Acmes they were. I sort of glanced at the top 8 and 10 and go, oh, there was a couple there, but I didn't realize that they were almost 20% of the field overall, and there was quite a spread of them all the way through. So yeah, I would probably have to you'd have to look really hard at Hive Mind Max and then go, okay, probably 419 because 5-5 Max is still too difficult for me to play.
Well, that's Hive Mind is, I think, the genuinely interesting second choice because I wouldn't want to play Apoc for all the reasons you mentioned, Chris. But if you could play Hive Mind, feel happy playing it and comfortable playing it, and then tested the Acme matchup and said, yes, as expected, this is good. You tranquilize all their big ice, you trash some of those smaller ice, and then you just win off Conduit when they've filled their deck with agendas. Maybe Hive Mind is actually the correct place to be. But if I was playing a tournament tomorrow and I was given the choice between like the Hive Mind deck that you played and lost with once and the 419 deck you've played 1,000 times, I'm picking 419 every day of the week.
Yeah. I'll tell you what we haven't talked about at all in this 49-minute ramble, and that's Counter Surveillance Zaya.
I think so, yeah. I don't know about that deck. Every time I've seen it in action, I've been a bit underwhelmed by it, but I've never actually played it. So maybe someone else can shed some light on that for me, but I've never seen it do a lot.
I played
a couple of games in testing against Sports, and I couldn't figure out how you require enough tags to do anything. But people keep putting up results with it, so maybe I just don't understand. It doesn't seem very good.
I kind of think you can only play it into a meta for the Sports, like, responsibly. And you obviously can play it to wherever you want. You can be an adult, but it doesn't feel great against a PD deck with Chrisians and Border Controls. It doesn't feel great to me against Acme with a bunch of ice that has an extra power if you're tagged. I just don't really see it as a rounded choice, which is, I guess, why you wouldn't play it. It looks quite funny.
Yeah, I think it would be a candidate for a store champ deck.
Definitely. If you've already won a store champ, feel free to play this, is what we're saying.
Classic.
Yeah.
I think there's a real danger in a tournament like Worlds as well, possibly even more so than anything else, because the field is so big, there's the chance you get like round one August, round two August, and you go, like, what have I done?
If anyone starts replacing Boom, because there's Boom decks out there, but like this CS deck plays Obelisk to get around that. But if anyone starts swapping Booms back out for high profile target, you're instantly done.
Yeah. I think this is a good point to raise as well. This is one of the reasons why I detest HPT as a card, because it ruined Obelisk for everybody, which is elegant console.
When you played Obelisk, it was because we could play a counter life from Joshua Beard. It was a different time. Like, have you played the card since rotation?
No, why? No, of course not. But I'm playing that on HPP, not on anything else.
Fair, very points. HPT is a silly card. You're right. It feels like it does things that shouldn't be done.
I think the one thing HPT does that I find endlessly amusing is people holding up HPT, holding up Obelisk, and holding up Mercs and trying to work out what they can survive. And the answer is nothing. It's like none of these work. But the maths is quite funny.
They just didn't need it. That's I don't understand why high profile target emerged. Like, why did they need it? I don't understand.
Because you can't, like, if you're trying to print alternative sources of meat damage, like you're trying to print a new Scorched, you can't just do Scorched with different, like, slightly different numbers on it. You have to kind of make it.
They've done Scorched traffic and Boom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, everyone kept saying that number of tags you have should matter. So it's our fault.
I suppose. Yeah, I think Traffic Accident and Scorched and Boom all seem fun to me and interesting because there is some play around with them, right? But HPT always just seems a bit, it's just too binary for me. It's like, oh, I'm dead. That's it. There's no way to deal with it. So
there's some stuff I like about HPT. I quite like that you get the games back when Argus was a playable corp. You'd have the games where you could like figure out if you float one tag or two tags, the odds that they had two HPTs, or whether they could afford to play two HPTs, whereas like with Boom, it was either on or it was off. It's like slightly more interesting, but like, yeah, it's kind of silly. If you're in a game where you have 15 tags, it's like, well, credit, HPT, okay, I'm dead. There was nothing I could ever have done.
Yeah.
Except not have 15 tags, but who would do that? Okay, so none of us is playing Counter Spell in Zaya.
No. So don't play Zaya, ban HPT, I think is the conclusion we've now come to. Mm.
We've got to come back to our original line, ban Miser, ban HPT. This is the post-Nats 2019 line.
Nothing has changed.
Oh, dear.
What about CCM? So briefly mentioned it, but that's about... Do you reckon that's just there because Apoc Max struggles with Ares? Or can it actually be 419?
I don't think it can't be 419. Right? 419 has gone back to Miss Bones. Like, how on earth do you win that matchup?
I think that might be the thing. I mean, it might be like if people were cutting Bones for more inside jobs and maybe even trying to play like Embezzle and the Black File, apparently everyone's playing now.
Yeah.
Maybe you have room for CTM in there. But yeah, 419 goes back to Bones. And if anyone goes back to Mighty Accident, I cannot see anyone.
Yeah. I think CTM was there to be Apoc Max, and it kind of evolved into realizing the best way to do that was with Salem's in CTM, and then Acme emerged. Just like, if you're doing that, just play Acme. If that's what you're trying to achieve, that deck does it better. Sorry, CTM. I still love you.
Yeah. I mean, it evolved a little bit, right? That you play two Boom in it now, which... rather than one.
What a revolution.
Like, let's credit where credit's due. Like, people put the hours in and they found two boomers.
Right, innovation.
You cut all your fun purple cards and put Boom in there.
Second Boom. I don't know if we've got that much more to talk about. We are possibly judging the barrel now. I can't think of anything. Anything else comes to mind? Because I can't.
No, I think much like everyone, you're just kind of waiting for this standard ban list and a real, call it what you want, to land at some point, and then you can really start going again. But it feels like everyone's kind of in a holding pattern at this point. You can tell because as soon as everyone on Slack starts talking about alternate format tournaments, you know that everybody's just waiting for Andrew Real to drop.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of alternate format tournaments, this I'm running an event called Mystery Box, which will be Netrunner with a random selection of packs from Netrunner's history that may or may not include a core set. It looks very stupid. I think everyone should come and play that in a few weeks' time. We did a test draw just before this to test out the system, and it looked pretty sweet. You could play. What did we have? We had Lamprey Rainer.
Yeah.
We had 419 with most of 419 cards, and we had Mid Seasons Loci Mother Goddess.
Yeah. I think it's worth clarifying exactly what this format consists of, right? It's
no one needs details. Yes,
it's a completely crackpot idea in that you just take no ban list, and you take a random selection of, we've not currently fully decided how many packs, but somewhere between 14 and 18 packs.
I think it's something Swan has been running for a while.
I think it's called Fragmented. But I don't know if they accurately curate each meta. I don't know if they decide on the 18 packs.
They have been drafting them as well. But the difference is they are running it as a league where people actually have time to figure out what is good.
Right.
Whereas we are doing the draft on the evening of Thursday, the 7th of October. And we're running the tournament on the morning of Saturday, the 9th of October. So very, very little time to think about it. You just look at some packs and say, hey, that looks good. And then you turn up on the day and go, wait, I didn't realize that Faust was legal.
Much like all our work, we've taken somebody else's hard work, tweaked it slightly, claimed it as our own innovation, and moved on.
Okay. With this one, I came up with this idea. I was talking to John about it, and then John looked in general and said, hey, someone else is already doing this. Just on a wavelength.
We are the Thomas Edison of the Netrunner.
So that seems fun. If anyone is up to Netrunner but has listened to us and decided that standard is bad, for which I would not forgive you, given that I don't think we sold it particularly well there. that's a thing that we can do instead.
Yes,
and then a ban list will come out on standard.
There's a very high chance you'll be allowed to play at least one totally busted card.
Definitely, yeah.
But you won't be able to do anything good with
it. We'll resurrect. we'll unearth the Twitch stream channel just for that draw. In fact, it might even be worth streaming all of the games as well.
I think I'm not going to play. I think I'm just going to stream so I can see what everyone's
brilliant. Found. Okay, yeah, that sounds excellent fun. I'm fully up for that. Join us for the draw. Was it Thursday the 7th of October?
I believe so, yeah.
Excellent.
We should say bye.
I think we're done.
Should we say bye? Do we have to? We don't normally say bye. We just come to an abrupt end.
I could just hit the stop button.
Yeah, just hit the stop button.
Okay.